You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clock, I want us to talk about informal traders now. This is something that political parties are speaking more about ahead of elections. The harassment of informal traders by the Metro Police and the unlawful confiscation of their goods. And I say unlawful because it came out yesterday as we were broadcasting live from Tshwane that sometimes the stock that is confiscated, some of it disappears while in the custody of the Metro Police. And when confiscating stock, the JMPD is required by law to compile a detailed itemized list of what's taken, right? The goods that are taken. But how often does that actually happen? So there's something problematic about our current bylaws, right? They restrict informal traders from making a living. And these informal businesses play a crucial role in our economy. And I don't know if you heard what President Cyril Ramaphosa said as he was campaigning. He was promising that these restrictive bylaws on trading will be repealed. So what exactly needs to change about the laws? And what exactly is it that the informal traders are not adhering to? I've got Livingstone Matanga, who's the chairperson of the South African National Retail Alliance, who's joining me for this discussion. Livingstone, thank you for making time.
Thank you, Mr. Manyathela.
And then I've got Jack Kosef, who is a special advisor to the MEC for Economic Development in Gauteng. That's Park Stau. Jack, thank you for making time. Hi.
Well, hi, Clement. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, I'm going to play just a couple of voice notes that we have from informal traders, and then I'm going to get your thoughts on what changes are actually needed so that we're not restricting this part of our economy.
Hello, my name is Matala Talane. I am a trader. I sell soft goods, and I've been allocated by Economic Development at Brie and Van Brandis since 2005. To today, I never had any problem because I keep on paying rent every month. But to my surprise, on the 16th of October, I saw Metro coming with big trucks to my trading space. I thought maybe they were coming to ask something because I know that everything on me is okay because I'm in a demarcated space. Oh, they surprised me when they get off the truck. They came to me. They say to me they have been sent by their seniors just to come and impound my stock. When I asked them the reason, they said they don't know. They have been just sent to me. You know, they took everything what I sell, you know, and they left me with a ticket of 3,000 rand. And my stock doesn't even worth 3,000 rand.
So, this person says they were renting, they left them with a ticket of 3,000 rand, and the stock was not even worth that. Livingstone, is this what you normally hear from the informal traders? What are the broader issues they have about the bylaws as they currently stand?
Okay, the first one, the bylaws, I have been too long been in place, but they were been talking about changing it. In the street of Johannesburg, there are boards that are being put in there to say outside of the demarcated area, meaning that that area is the area that is demarcated for trading.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we have been facing on the 12th of August, when the rightful traders were trading between President and between Simons and Helen Joseph in President Street. They have been there for years. They are in the list of the people that were taken in 2013, whereby the Constitutional Court have allowed those people to trade. And when we ask the JMPD, What is wrong? Because if you come and impound for people, you need to indicate the bylaws,
yeah,
which bylaws that you are broken.
Okay, let's bring Jack now. Jack, what Livingstone is referring to is that constitutional court judgment which held that it was unlawful. There was an unlawful conduct on the part of the JMPD when they forcefully evicted a number of informal traders from their trading stalls and confiscated their goods. And I think there were a number of recommendations, and one of it was that the Johannesburg city had to implement some kind of a framework that would enable the city and informal traders to work together in partnership. Has that been implemented?
Only to a certain extent, Clement. So I think what we need to recognize is this is actually part of a much bigger problem than just street trading in the CBD of Joburg. If you look at the context of how bylaws influence informal business across Gauteng, that 9 out of 10 businesses in a township or a inner city CBD context, not only in Joburg, but in all the old CBDs, all the historic townships and most disadvantaged areas, 9 out of 10 businesses operate on an unregulated basis. They operate on they operate within the context of informality. Mm. And that, the bylaws that surround them are often designed for kind of public order issues, and they're often designed with respect to suburbs and commercial and industrial sites, and don't apply the correct logic to the way the trading happens. On one side, that's the kind of thing we are directly confronting through the new Township Economic Development Bill, because what we are now going to be doing is designating the various areas in Gauteng as what are called Township Enterprise Zones. Within those zones, there is a draft model bylaw that cuts a lot of the red tape that deals with a lot of these kinds of more restrictive issues. The challenge that will remain is that trading is always going to be, and Livingston knows this very well, it's a highly contested space. So there's the official permit regime, and then there's the people that actually trade on the street, and the two are often not the same people. There's a black market in trading rights that occurs. There's people who try to superimpose themselves informally as the authority over the traders that try to claim the rights to dictate who trades where. And ultimately, the only legal authority that determines who can trade in a specific space is the city of Joburg, obviously in the context of the CBD or the local authority elsewhere in Gauteng, operating within certain national and provincial legal constraints. What has been implemented since 2013 has often been a kind of, if you want to, a detente between the traders and the JMPD. But what tends to then happen is whenever there are a series of complaints about from other constituencies like taxis, pedestrians, other businesses, about traders clogging up pedestrian routes, there's always accusations, some founded, a lot of them unfounded, about criminality that flourishes within the informal sector, including things like black market goods, including the underground trading of drugs and other kinds of illicit material. Obviously, those kind of things, I'm sure Livingston would agree, are not the kind of thing traders would ever want to be known for. But these are realities on the streets of the CBDs. So what you tend to find happens is, no matter what the framework looks like at a conceptual level, the reality on the street is always going to be much messier. The best thing to do is to really come to an understanding of how we regularize and upgrade the capabilities and the facilities that informal traders deal with. In South Africa, it's been done well. If you look at the Warwick precinct in Durban, is often used as an example, and those are the kind of areas where informality, without forcing it to become formality and carry all the costs associated with that, can be accommodated in much smarter ways. And that's effectively what we're charging towards from the NEC's side and from the Department of Economic Development side at provincial level.
Yeah. Livingstone, hearing what Jack is saying there, he speaks about the new Transfer Development Bill, the plan to regularize, and you don't want to force informal into formal, but there's a way you want to do it in that it works for everyone. As it stands right now, is it working for you? And what do you think would actually help in making sure that you've got informal traders continue with their trade and they're not being restricted, but at the same time, them trading is not affecting other things in the areas where they trade?
Mr. Manyathela, let me make it very clear that what the speaker is saying is not true. Let me take you back from 2013 after the Concord. After the Concord, the Johannesburg city, I think they were very angry because they decided on January to say to us the permit are no longer working, because they find that they said it to the court that they issue 500 permits, but we find more than 1,000 permits that are coming from their offices. And they decided in a meeting to abolish permits. That's number one. Number two, we proposed to them a public space management. How can we manage the public space where hawkers are? We gave them the proposal. They do not even answer that proposal. And the biggest problem that you are having with the city is that the city does not respect anything. They have a court order, a constitutional court order, which they have never implemented anything that was suggested by the court order.
Yeah, well, he says that they've started with the implementation of the court order, but not everything, not entirely. But Livingstone, what I want to know is, as informal traders, what are you doing on your side as an association that represents them to ensure that? And I hear that you say you've submitted this public management plan, but the city also has a responsibility to ensure the city is clean, right? And in some instances, you've got traders that set up shop, and where they operate, that's not necessarily clean, and the city has that responsibility. How can you work together within the current parameters to ensure, one, their responsibility is held, but also you are not restricted with your trade?
Listen, on the 27th of February 2017, we have a certain agreement between the public protector and the JMPD. And in that agreement, which the city has never, ever implemented that agreement with the public protector, because we complain about impoundment. One of the issues that we are crying about is that when the JMPD came to your stall, they are not itemizing the clothes or the items that they are getting there.
Yeah, and that's required by law, right? That's what the law requires. Livingstone, just hold it there. I'm going to take a quick ad break. When we come back, I'll get Jack the responsibility to respond and also speak to the agreement that you say you've signed with the public protector and why the city of Johannesburg hasn't implemented that.
702.
The Clement Maniatela Show.
Let's walk the talk.
It's 7 minutes before 11 o'clock. We're speaking to Livingstone Matanga and Jack Kosef about informal trading and the harassment that's often perpetrated, I should say, against informal traders. Jack, Livingstone was mentioning the agreement with the public protector, because there have been issues around impounding, harassment, and I don't think this is even debatable, because I'm sure you've seen lots of videos, Jack, yourself, of informal traders being treated in the way that they have, where their stock is just impounded, it's not itemized as expected. The way they've been treated by the JMPD is questionable. So have you implemented that agreement with the public protector? And how will this new transfer development bill change things around? Because even President Cyril Ramaphosa said there are restrictive bylaws on trading that need to be repealed.
Okay, so Clement, firstly, I do have to make clear that I can't speak for the city of Joburg. They are a different sphere of government. Obviously, we are aware of these issues. We observe these issues closely. We are very worried by a lot of the practices that we see, and we do raise them with our colleagues in the city. So I can't speak specifically to how JMPD officially responds with the question of how it's implementing the public protector agreement. What I can speak to is the extent to which the enforcement of bylaws obviously needs a whole lot of correction, which is something that is, well, not just the enforcement of bylaws, but the bylaws themselves. And that's why the Township Economic Development Bill and the Township Enterprise Zones are so important to the way we're doing things. You do have to separate, obviously, the enforcement angle and the problems with that, which are, as you say, evident and do need to be constantly monitored. And you do have bad actors at street level. You do have, you know, but even if policy is correct, you can still have bad actors that get away with it and have to be brought to book from the perspective of enforcement. So in terms of the public protection sector and other institutions. That's why the Chapter 9s are there.
Yeah.
But then the question of how you regulate public trading space. So Livingston has mentioned that there have been a lot of submissions around how you better regulate public space. One of the things we're doing with the Township Economic Development Bill is introducing special new draft standard bylaws that effectively make it easier to trade and also allow for more effective ways of doing registration. I'll give you an interesting example, and Livingston will remember this. During a hard lockdown in levels 4 and 5, we actually implemented a digital certification system, a very, very low data app that would basically work on any phone made in the last 10 years. And basically geocode the certificate that a trader could use to verify they had the right to trade under lockdown. And we got ourselves into a fair amount of trouble intergovernmentally because we kind of unilaterally imposed a disaster management response from the perspective of provincial government, working with NAP joints and prov joints. But it exposed the extent to which there is a jealous guarding of the municipal street trading space by officialdom. But basically the way we're not intending to be Bigfoot about this, but we are in the Township Economic Development Bill, which should be a law hopefully before the end of this calendar year, that stipulates certain kinds of enabling conditions that have to be there in what are now going to be referred to as township enterprise zones. Within those zones, there will be regulations and draft model bylaws that are more accommodating. There will be the opportunity for informal businesses to self-register for certain kinds of benefits. It's not just the bylaws. There's all kinds of potential tax breaks for certain categories of businesses. There's prioritization for funding.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of things that we're throwing in there. It's what's known as benefit stacking. But for this specific issue, what needs to be considered is how do we optimize the management of public trading space within those township enterprise zones. The NEC has the right to promulgate regulations once this thing becomes an act, and we would then want to use that to work with groups like Livingston's to understand what the optimized trading space regulation looks like, recognizing that public policy is always a contestation between different interests that have to be fairly weighed and evaluated, and recognizing as well and admitting that abuses by enforcement officials, including the non-itemization of goods, including the theft of goods, obviously the solicitation of bribes, you've got to ultimately never be able to tolerate that, and you've got to be able to crack down on that as a separate matter.
Yeah,
that doesn't
yeah.
change the fact that you've got to better regulate public space than we do right
in
now.
In a way that still allows informal trading to continue without being too restricted. I hear you, Jack. There's a balance to it. I think maybe we should get you in touch with Livingstone if you guys haven't worked together, and maybe Livingstone can talk to you about the public management plans that he was telling us about. Because the idea here is not that the informal traders must be treated special, right, and not observe bylaws and nothing must happen to them. But one, it's about the treatment, right? When the JMPD come and say, you are not in a place where you are demarcated to be, how do they go about that? Do they just confiscate the goods without itemizing it and then it gets lost, right? Or is there a better approach? Because these people are making a living, right? The informal traders are important to our economy. And even their treatment and how you respond when they are not following up on bylaws is very important. But also, secondly, I agree, right? The city has to be clean. We need demarcated areas. You don't have to force formalizing this informal sector, but there's a way, I think, the city of Johannesburg can work with informal traders to make it work for all of us.